And I do ask you to stand once again in reverence for God's holy word. From the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answered from within, Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you that even though he would not get up and give to him because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him what he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Today we're continuing in our series on prayer. Last week we talked about what it meant to pray in the name of Jesus. Today we're going to talk about why do we pray at all? Why should we pray? I mean, God is all powerful, right? Right? Work with me here. God is all powerful, right?
Yes.
All right. God is all knowing, right?
Yes.
God loves us head over heels, right?
Yes.
So should we have to pray? Why doesn't God just give us everything that we want and need and all that? And why should we even have to pray? That's a question that I asked when I was about 6 years old. And I remember my Sunday school teacher looking at me like, huh? Because, you know, nobody obviously had ever asked the question, well, why? Well, why? Why should we have to pray if God knows what we need? Yes, God knows what we need, but that's not what prayer is. That's what we tend to think about ourselves, you know. Prayer is when we ask God for all the stuff we want / need for, you know, me, my wife, my son, his wife, us four, no more, amen. You know, we tend to get that way. But in the scripture that I just read, it not only tells us how to pray, but embedded in that is the why of prayer. So let's look at that. We are going to talk first with Father, hallowed be your name. Father. Father. Not, you know, Almighty, Magnificent God, although He is, but Jesus said, call Him Father, because God wants a real, close, personal relationship with each one of us. A father-child relationship. And that's difficult for some people to understand because maybe their biological father, their stepfather, or whatever, you know, was the father figure in their life, wasn't all that they could have been. But let's think about what a perfect father is like. What do perfect fathers do?
Love.
Love, unconditionally. What else?
Protect.
Fathers protect. I never once said, you know, you better watch out for my mama, although that would have been a good idea. But, you know, what is it we say? My daddy can whoop your daddy? You know, it's the Father that we think of as our protector. The one who provides. See, we live in a culture now where it's not so clear cut. In most families, you know, both parents work. Nothing wrong with that. In most families, you know, there's not the need for physical protection as there was in Jesus' day from wild animals even. I mean, we don't usually have to think about that, although Daddy was the one that we called when we found a snake in the yard. It's all about that fatherness, that love, that protection, that provision that He wants to give, but it's also about being in the relationship. It's a relationship not just defined by roles that we play. You know, we're protected, we're given all. It's about sharing. You know, what I had with my father had very little, you know, to do really with, you know, him protecting me, although I knew he would. My father was fun. He was fun to be around. I get my sense of humor from him, so you all know where to blame. But he kept the whole family laughing. No matter how hard times were, we still laughed. He kept all of us together. You know, we were a family because of the love that we had for each other. It's a relationship. It's a sharing. It's a just wanting to be together. That's what God is to us. Why should we pray? Because that's how we spend time in the presence of someone who loves us so much. And then there's that next part. Hallowed be your name. This is a difficult concept for some, and I don't know where a lot of you come from, but in my mountain culture, your name meant something. The first thing anybody asks you in a mountain culture is, who's your daddy? Who's your mama? Who are your people? Where do you come from? Because your name means something. And I was taught from the time I could move that you never want to bring disgrace or dishonor to your family. You just don't. And that's a cultural thing, you know, in some places, but I think most of us can get that, right? Well, God doesn't just call us to a name. He calls us to a hallowed name. The name of Christian means He doesn't just want us to spend a little devotional time with Him in the morning or the evening. He wants us to live a devotional life, a life worthy of our name, a life worthy of our calling, a life worthy of who He created us to be, a devotional life. A life that's holy. That's what He's calling us to. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Say that with me. Your kingdom come. It is your kingdom. Notice that right there. I mean, that shifts the focus right at that moment from ourselves to God. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom. It's yours. See, because on the throne of our hearts, somebody's going to sit there, and sometimes it's us. Sometimes we're sitting on the throne. Used to drive me nuts when I'd get all upset over something, and Gary'd say, "Who's on the throne?" And I just want to go, "Shut up." I won't hear that right now. But it was the truth. Who was on the throne? Me. Because when God's on the throne, there's, you know, you don't get all that upset over little nitpicky stuff. You don't worry about things. You don't. When God is on the throne, you understand who's in control. It's His kingdom. He's got way more invested in it than we do. He's got way more invested in us than we do. He is not going to let us down. We need to shift the focus from ourselves to Him. Worship the right person. Because sometimes we worship us. We wouldn't call it that. I mean, none of us would say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to worship Susan today. We would never say that. But sometimes that's what we do, is we're worshiping ourselves because we put ourselves on the throne. We say, I'm going to make my decisions. I'm going to decide what I do. I'm going to. Not if it is God's will, I'm going to. Not if God provides. It's all centered right there. Where is it coming from? That'll tell you who's on the throne. It's His kingdom. And when we say, your kingdom come, come is an action word. We pray for the kingdom to come. That means prayer is supposed to be motivating us to action. That's why we pray. We participate in the kingdom. When we're saying, your kingdom come, we're saying, what do we need to do? Our actions automatically shift from being on the receiving end to being on the giving end. From being served to giving service. See, it's His kingdom, and we want His kingdom to come, then we are placing ourselves under that authority and committing ourselves to action. That's why we pray. What actions do we need to be taking? One of the best prayers, this is a little short prayer. It's, you know, God, what is the best use of my time at this moment? What's the best use of my time at this moment? I'd say almost everybody in here, even if you're retired, have 47 different things that need to be done right now. Am I right? Yeah, I see a lot of Methodist amens out there, heads nodding. Okay. This is what it is. We have a lot of things to do. Not necessarily, you know, good and bad. It's just we need to be focusing on the best thing to do right now. That's why we pray. God, what's our best action right now for your kingdom? And remember, we're part of that kingdom. So, you know, things that affect us affect the kingdom. He might tell you that the best thing you can do right now is take a nap. Now, He's not telling you that right at this moment. Let me clear that up. Let me clear that up, because I saw a lot of people with that big grin come on.
But you know what?
So, not right now. But our actions, what's the best thing to do right now? We pray, give us each day our daily bread. Let's say that together. Give us each day our daily bread. The first part of that is give us. Being a person of prayer teaches you to be humble. Oh my goodness, is that hard. You know, I know most of you pretty well. And I don't think there's a person in this room that I couldn't contact and say, you know, folks, I need, and you would do everything you could to make it happen. Right? And we can do that for each other because we care for each other. But it's way, way more humbling to ask for help. And some people have so much false pride, they don't even want to ask God for help. I don't even want to ask God for help. It's just like, I can do this on my own. And that is indeed false pride. And don't be confused if you think that you've done something so bad or that your life is so horrible, or all the things in your past have made it so bad that, you know, I can't ask God for anything now after I've done this, that, or the other thing. That is another form of pride. They're saying, I can be so bad that God can't forgive me. That's just another form of pride. So let me give you the theological way to deal with that. Get over it. You know, just get over it. Because God wants us to humble ourselves before Him. He's God. Humble ourselves. Each day. Give us each day. Does that say each month? Each year? It's each day. We focus, folks, on the day. Do not spend time thinking about your yesterdays, whether they be good or bad. Sometimes we lament things that have happened, and sometimes we're mourning what's gone. Some days I get up and I am a little more stiff. You know, I've done something that used to wouldn't have bothered me, and the next day I get up and wonder what the name of that truck was that ran over me. Things that I used to could do without even giving them a thought. And now I'm 55. Ooh. I am a senior citizen. And proud of it. But I'll tell you the truth. This getting old stuff is not for sissies.
Amen.
I got some Baptists, amen. All right. But if we don't want to think about tomorrow, and we don't want to, I mean, worry about yesterday, and we don't want to think about tomorrow, we may not have tomorrow. Focus on the here and now. And tomorrow, usually what we're doing for tomorrow is we're not planning the wonderful thing that's fixing to happen. But usually when we're living for tomorrow, you know, about tomorrow, it's because we're worried about something that's coming down the pipe. Right? Most of our future stuff tends to... Don't worry. Don't lament. Just be here now. Focus on today. Give us each day. Each day. What is it the Bible says? Each day's got enough trouble of its own. Just deal with today. That doesn't mean you don't plan for tomorrow or anything like that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But it means that our focus needs to be on the here and now. Our daily bread. That's what we were talking about a minute ago. Don't worry. God is going to provide what you need. Okay, true confessions. I had no intention of buying a car yesterday. No intention whatsoever. But there was a good thing going on, this good deal, and I thought, well, I'll go look. I'm just going to go look. And I'll see, because, you know, I probably don't even want that car. Never seen one before. But I was online, I saw it, I saw the deal, I thought, okay, I'll go look. Okay, it may have been my first mistake, but anyway, I went to look, I saw the car. You guys have been absolutely pestering me to death to buy a new car before I end up, you know, stranded in who knows where. And I thought, okay, God, it's their fault. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing about that. But I did. You know, I said, God, if this is what you want, just let it all be, you know, the way I think it ought to go. So I go and I look at the car and I drive the car and I say, okay, well, we'll see. And I go in the negotiation room and, you know, they come out with this first offer, which I laughed at. And, you know, they kept going back and forth. I don't know why they bothered to do that, but they run back and forth, you know, in and out of the room. And finally, they get down to what I'm willing to pay. And I'm sitting there just cool as a cucumber, just as calm as I can be. Signed all the paperwork, walked out the door, and all of a sudden it felt like something had kicked me right in the stomach. And I go, what did I just do? Because I hate debt. And what did I just do? And all the way home, driving the little loaner car they gave me till mine comes, I'm all the way there, and I decided I'd go see Robert in the hospital, and I get to the hospital, and there on the wall that somebody had written on a whiteboard was a quote from the Psalms about, do not worry or fear because God is taking care of you. And I said, oh, come on. Don't worry. Daily bread. Daily bread. Because God gives us our daily bread. Next week, we're going to keep on with this series. But I want you to know, folks, that there is a good reason to pray. We need to pray. It's not that God needs. We need. We need from the depth of our being to be in His presence. Not just devotionally every day, but every moment of every day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.